listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Well, when you catch the attention of 1970s pop star Elton John, and he is tweeting about you, he will never wear your fashion again. That is a bit of a, I don't know, it's kind of a diva-like mood. I don't know what the male version of a diva is, but I will never wear your fashions again. Dolce and Gabbana are two men who happen to be gay. They were actually a couple for several decades, also business partners in some high-end fashion. They recently said some things to the Italian press that caught Elton John's attention and raised his ire and that of many other celebrities as well. Joining us to talk about this and an Oklahoma bill in the House of Representatives that would abolish government-issued marriage licenses, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of a recent column titled 10 Things to Think About When You're Watching 50 Shades of Grey. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, we're accustomed to seeing the venom that is aimed at people like you when you advocate for the natural family. What have we seen of a different color here when it is venom aimed at a gay couple, business partners, and celebrities in their own right when they go off script on this subject?
Well, it's exactly what we've come to expect, Todd. I mean, they aren't the only same-sex attracted people who believe that children need their own mothers and fathers and who are in favor of natural marriage. They're not the only gay men who feel that way, and there are lesbian women also who feel that way. But their voices must be shouted down and drowned out in order to have the grand narrative of same-sex marriage go unchallenged in the media. So if somebody, somebody's head pops up and speak something counter to the narrative, they've absolutely got to be suppressed. So it doesn't surprise me at all that Elton John and others are attacking these guys. The gay men of all people must be silenced if they have any doubts.
Now, they haven't actually even expressed any disapproval over gay marriage, but over in vitro fertilization, what they called rented wombs, along with that, and then also over the notion of the family. They said, look, we know that there are all kinds of couples out there and all kinds of unions, but the family ought to be the family. And they want, they kind of anachronistically, at least some believe, say that ought to be a mother and a father and children.
You know, when I read that, my heart soared. I thought, they're genuine Italian men. This is how Italian men feel, whether they're gay or straight. This is part of their culture. You know, we've talked before, Todd, about the fact that in France, over a million people have showed up in the streets of Paris to make exactly this point. You know, so and we don't think of either Italy or France as being uptight sexually. You know, it's just that these are Latin cultures with a strong Catholic heritage behind them, and they value the family, and they value children, and the bambini, and the mother, and the father, and, you know, they think that this is important. It's a deep, deep part of their culture, and so it doesn't surprise me at all, and I'm really grateful that they're speaking out.
So in your terms here, as we've talked about this many times before, the voice of common sense that says families are simply mothers, fathers, and children. It's just that simple. That's the way it actually works. That voice of common sense, I wanted to explore something you said before, cannot be tolerated, but especially cannot be tolerated if it comes from a gay couple.
I think that's right. You know, my friend, Professor Robert Oscar Lopez, who was raised by two women, has and who himself has had experience as a bisexual man and so on. He's now married to a woman that he's faithful to and has two children with. But he has all of that comfort with the gay community as part of his past. When he speaks out against same-sex marriage and particularly against same-sex marriage, he is the one guy that they have absolutely got to silence. You see, and the issue, Todd, is that saying that mothers and fathers are completely interchangeable, saying that the conjugal act is the same as purchasing sperm or purchasing eggs or renting a womb, saying that all of those things are morally equivalent from the child's point of view, those things are simply false. And people who have lived experience close to those things know that they're false. And so in order to maintain the official position that there's no difference, you simply cannot tolerate any dissent. And that's why the movement to redefine marriage to make it a genderless institution, that's why we have the feeling that there's so much relentless propaganda, that there's a, you know, kind of a totalitarian streak to it. That's why we feel that, because it's true that they must suppress evidence. They must suppress dissent. And these Italian fashion designers are on the receiving end of that right now. Whether they're gay or straight, they're not going to escape it. The fact that they're gay is all the more reason to chase them back onto the plantation or crush them.
Are you surprised that they voiced some question in opposition to in vitro fertilization?
I found that quite refreshing that they talked like that. And, you know, the fashion show that they created actually was a kind of celebration of motherhood. Their most recent show has, you know, pictures of, you know, babies, beautiful babies and beautiful mothers. And the mothers are very, you know, of course, fashionably dressed, but they're mothers, you know, they're glamorous mothers. And it's very lovely. And so for them to point out that in vitro is something different from the natural union of a husband and wife, and particularly to call attention to the third party reproduction aspect of it, it's important that people see that it's different. And I feel badly when I look at young people either planning their lives around the idea that they're going to someday use IVF so they don't have to worry about getting a partner, you know, starting off down this path of either single parenthood by choice or, you know, some kind of unusual union, because they're being told by the media that this is completely unproblematic and family structure doesn't matter at all. And as long as you're good, loving people with good parenting skills and good relationship skills, everything will be fine. And I think there is serious reason to doubt that narrative. And I'm grateful that somebody like these guys is at least casting some doubt upon this.
Is part of the problem here is not only that these objections came from gay couples, from celebrities, but from the heights of the elite. Is that the one thing that troubles the elite as much?
Oh, no kidding. I'm sure that's right. I mean, in my experience dealing with these issues, you know, I talked to quite a few people of means with the hope that they can support the Ruth Institute, for example, right? And it's my experience that most truly wealthy people are all on the other side. They're all on the favor of the sexual revolution. And when I encounter a person of means who's also a person of faith and who really values you know, man-woman marriage and sexual integrity and marital fidelity and all those things that we value at the Ruth Institute, that person, those well-to-do people, know perfectly well that they are unusual among the members of their social class. They know they're unusual amongst the elites and that they, you know, have to be cautious about when they express their opinions and where and so on and so forth. So I think there's no doubt that the elites of our culture, of both parties and of all tiers of the elites, they for the most part, are completely committed to the whole sexual revolution. And so when you find somebody like these designers, or some of the, you know, the wealthy people that I've encountered working with the Ruth Institute, you know, they're very aware that they're unusual. And what I like about these two guys is that they seem to be so cheerful about it. You know, they seem to be so matter of fact about it, and they just don't seem to give a rip what Elton John thinks of them. And I just find that very refreshing.
Anticipating Supreme Court ruling in favor of same-sex marriage, what do you think about the strategy of the Oklahoma House of Representatives? They made a decision to abolish government-issued marriage licenses. Is that the solution?
I can't tell you, Todd. You know, I go around and around in circles when thinking about this. So if I understand the Oklahoma situation correctly, what they're saying is that they're not going to have government-issued marriage licenses. They're going to have marriage certificates issued by the clergy. What I don't understand is, does that mean then that that if somebody wants to dissolve their marriage in the state of Oklahoma, that the clergy will then have authority over that, that the government will not have authority over property settlement, child custody, things like that. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure that the people who proposed this thing have thought that through. At least I haven't seen them think that through. And I can't think my way out of this box as to where this is going to lead. I appreciate what they're trying to do, but I'm not sure it's practical.
With only about 30 seconds, does it kind of demonstrate that we cannot deal with the impending court decision by half measures? I mean, you can try to set up a bulwark against it, but it's no solution like this is going to end up being perfect. What are your thoughts?
Yeah,
30 seconds.
I think that's probably right, Todd. You know, I don't, you know, if the federal judiciary were going to allow us to have cordoned off certain areas of the country where we say marriage is between a man and a woman, because this is the community standard in our community. If they were going to let us do that, they wouldn't be going around judicially dismantling people's constitutional amendments, you know. So my guess is that even if that goes through, the courts will somehow intervene to thwart it. And in that sense, the marriage issue is going to become very much like the abortion issue, in that there are plenty of states that would like to have, that do in fact have community standards quite different from those of the 9 members of the U.S. Supreme Court, and would like to have laws that reflect their community standards, but the Supreme Court basically won't let them do it. And so I think that's where they're headed with the marriage issue as well.
You will find a link to the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Ruback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University, and she has authored the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're very welcome.
When we come back, we're going to spend the last few minutes of the program with Pastor Matt Harrison. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to reflect upon the life and the legacy of the sainted Lutheran theologian and a regular guest here on the program, Dr. Ronald Feuerhahn.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, etc. 300.